Well, if you turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to take just to depart from the book of Luke for a Sunday. Here on the just the last couple days before the election is over, and then we can all relax, right? Or will we? I was reading an article, and the author was talking about that there is a certain anxiety out there that if we're, and it's hard to escape it, we're always listening and reading the news and watching these often contradictory poll numbers, and then hearing the predictions by all the talking heads of what's going on. And the writer says that in this mess, that in this confusion of our election time, he said, I guess I should just look for the hopium that people are talking about. Hopium. Now, that was a new word to me. That's one of those modern made-up words. It's a combination of the word hope and opium. Okay, put together to get hopium. And what it means is that in our context, in the midst of anxious times, you're just going to focus on those news articles and TV programs that are going to reassure you that no matter what happens on November 5th with our election, that everything is going to turn out all right afterwards. Okay, we're just going to focus on those things that are going to give us hope, make us feel good, right? And so this is the kind of hope that is just meant to numb us like opium, to distract us from thinking of what could be a bleak future for us. A lot of us are hoping this week that this mess of election and divisiveness and the polarity and the bitterness will be all over after Tuesday. A lot of us are hoping that if we get our person in the White House, that we can finally then restore our nation, put it on the right track, and make things better. We'll have greater opportunities and enable our citizens to flourish. We are hoping that as a nation, we can get back on track. We are hoping. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I've said this before, that regardless of who gets in the White House, we're still going to have serious problems in our country because our biggest problem is a spiritual problem. And this election is not going to address that. We're still going to have divisions and polarities and people hating and demeaning one another on either side of the aisle. And plus, this race is so close, it's going to, we're not going to probably know who won on Wednesday. I mean, I've read that both sides are lining up lawyers to challenge the results or to be ready. This is going to last a while. I've already seen articles of what the activists plan to do if their side loses. Are we going to have another January 6th? And so even though we're hoping that everything is going to subside after our election on Tuesday and everything's going to go back to normal, even though we're hoping that our country's going to be turned around if our person gets elected, I think if we believe that, that we're taking hopium, that we have a false hope. I don't want to be a doomsdayer, but that's just what I sense. But it's interesting. In our scripture passage today, there's a very relatable passage that kind of speaks to our situation that I think is appropriate for where we are as a people today. And in the book of Jeremiah, the nation of Judah is being threatened to be overrun by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And they're scared. So what Judah has done is that it has gone to all the surrounding smaller nations and they say, hey, let's band together. Let's form an alliance and stand up against Babylon here and not just let them, because not to just let them take over us, let's stand up to them. The problem, though, here is that God's people, the people of Judah, have turned away from him. They have begun worshiping other gods, even to the point of child sacrifice that Jeremiah speaks against. But God has stopped being a priority in people's lives. Not that they totally turned away from God, but, you know, they still worship God, but then they brought in these other foreign gods to worship as well. And so God went to the prophet Jeremiah, and he spoke to Jeremiah, and he said, I've had enough. Here's what I want you to do, Jeremiah, object lesson. I want you to create yourself a yoke made of wood and put it around your neck and go into the temple and preach to the people that this yoke on your neck, it's symbolic of what the Babylonians are going to do to the people of Judah and everyone else. You are going to be led around whatever they want. And so Jeremiah warns Judah and all the other kings, listen, your best way out is just to submit to the Babylonians. Don't fight it, okay? Just surrender. It is going to be better off for you if you do that. Now, I need to ask you, who wants to hear that? I mean, even if you're a prophet, it's like, no, right? That's horrible news. Could you be more unpatriotic than that? I mean, you're supposed to rally the troops, rally the people, fight to the bitter end, not give in to these pagan foreigners, right? How could they do that? But God told Jeremiah, listen, this subjugation is all part of my plan because my people have been idolatrous and turned away from me. He even said that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, is my servant in carrying out my will. Whoa. Well, Judah and their leaders and their king and the people, they didn't listen. And so the Babylonians come and destroy them, defeat them, and they carry off a bunch of people from Judah, the king and queen and court officials, all the important people and other people, carried them back to Babylon, hundreds of miles away, went and raided the temple of all the important gold, expensive items, took that with them as well, took them all back to Babylon. Now you can all put yourself... If you're one of God's people, you're one of the Judites at that time, how are you feeling, right? Whether you're at home in Jerusalem, whether you've been taken away to a foreign land, you're as low as you can possibly be, right? But then something interesting happens in Jerusalem. There is a debate about the future of the nation and what's going to happen. Jeremiah already said his word. There is another prophet that stands up by the name of Hananiah. And he stands up in the temple in war-torn Jerusalem and said, people, I've got good news. God has told me that in 2 years, things are going to change. 2 years, the king Nebuchadnezzar will be defeated, the Babylonians will be defeated, and all the people are going to come and return to Jerusalem. All the expensive, important things from the temple are going to come back and be in Jerusalem in 2 years. So hang in there, people. It's going to happen. And then, in debate fashion, Jeremiah stands up in the temple. And he says, amen. I hope that happens. I hope God does that and brings the people back and brings the articles of the temple back. But I don't think so, he says. I don't think so. He says one of the ways that we'll find out is that in 2 years, if it happens, we know that this guy's a good prophet. But Jeremiah says, I don't think it's going to happen. And Hananiah didn't like this. This is a debate, you know, Hananiah the prophet. He didn't like what Jeremiah said, so he went over and he took that wooden yoke that Jeremiah had and he broke it right off of him and threw it down. And so you had this big prophet, professorial, prophetic debate, maybe, I don't know. But he had this big debate going on. And then Jeremiah visits Hananiah, and he tells him, Hananiah, God was not pleased with what you said. In fact, 2 months later, Hananiah died. Dun, 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 right? And so then Jeremiah, what he does is he writes a letter to the people who are in exile, who have been taken away hundreds of miles from their homeland. The king, the queen, the court officials, all the important people. And he writes them a letter. And that's where we are in chapter 29, verse 4. I don't know if you have, we get a page number of that. Anybody there in the 641. Thank you. 641. I'm sorry, I didn't give that out. But we're going to read a couple verses here. And this is, again, this is interesting. Remember, put yourself in that position that you've been away from your homeland. You don't know if God even cares for you anymore, right? You've been defeated. But you get this letter from Jeremiah. It says this, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. How many of you have ever heard that verse before? How many of you have ever seen that verse on a coffee mug or hanging up on a wall somewhere? Right? How many of you know the context of that verse? Isn't it interesting to read the context? You know, this is how this was written to, how that verse was written to. Now, verse 12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. God is speaking through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is telling the people, don't take that hopium, right? Don't be listening and believing in a false hope. Don't buy into everything that your leaders and that your prophets are saying. When the time is right, after 70 years, okay, I will lead you out, God says. Until then, here's what I want you to do. And God gives them a plan to succeed during this time. And I think that this is good advice for us in our final days of this election season and moving forward. And the first one is this, that whatever happens on November 5th, seek the Lord. Whatever happens on November 5th, seek the Lord. Verse 13, and this is one, you know, obviously this is one of the ones you should have underlined in your own Bible. You will seek me and find me when you seek me and put a box around all your heart. I think that's the key to it. I will be found by you, because these people had drifted away from God. He wasn't a priority anymore. He was still there. They just didn't love him wholly with all of their heart. But God said, hey, listen, I'm still here. And even though you find yourself in the middle of tough times, call on me. I'm still here. Call on me, come to me, pray to me, make me the priority and the most important thing in your life. And guess what? You'll find me. That's how you'll find me. And he says, and I'll be listening to you. I'll be listening to you. And I think at this time in our nation, faced with this scripture, this is a good time for us, for those of us who call ourselves Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, where we need to reevaluate where our heart is with Jesus and who we put our faith, our total faith and trust in. Psalm 146:3. Annabelle, put that up on the screen, Psalm 146:3. And we read a different version of it this morning. It says, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Whatever happens on November 5, let's seek the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Then Jeremiah says this, don't buy the hopium that after 2 years, everybody's going to come back from Babylon and all the temple relics are going to come back. You're going to be there for 70 years. So what does he say? Make the best of it. Build houses, plant gardens, start families. Verse 7, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I think this is good advice for us as well. Whatever happens on November 5th, seek the good of your community. Seek the good of your nation, of your country. Perhaps now, or in a week or so. I know it's now because I've spoken and I've listened to enough of you. A lot of times, there are people today, we just feel like we lost our country. I mean, I'm not gonna ask for a show of hands, but you know, things have changed. What's important is no longer important. Things are just changed. Things aren't the same as before. You kind of feel like you're an alien living in a foreign land. And it's interesting because if you look at the New Testament, that is how the New Testament describes a follower of Jesus Christ. Someone who is an alien living in a foreign land. And the reason that is so is because we have different values, different pursuits, and different priorities. If you are a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, those things will be different than that the world has. And so we can disagree with people, but we don't have to resort to tearing them down and destroying them and humiliate them. We ought to be people, as followers of Jesus, we ought to be the people who are look for things and participate in activities that build people up, that will build our community up, that will build our nation up, including whatever we put on Facebook. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Thank you for saying amen. We are. That's who we are. And so, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, we should be exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Christians should be the best citizens of this country. No doubt. That is not often the case, though. So, whatever happens November 5th, seek the good of your community, of your country. And finally, whatever happens on November 5th, embrace the suffering. It leads to true and lasting hope. That's one we often don't want to hear. But this is what Jeremiah told the people, right? The people who had been taken away from their homeland. You know, you're in the bad situation. And he told them, hey, make the best of it. Turn to God, do good, and in due time, God will work things out. It's one of the things we learned. So one of the beautiful things we learned this past week in our midweek discipleship that we've had, is that we go to God in our suffering and pain, including the pain and suffering that we go through as a nation, right? Why not turn to God in the midst of our situation and cry out to God? Look at what Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 5. He says this. Put that up on the screen, Annabelle, Romans 5. Therefore, he says this, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our what? You know, sometimes you stop and you read scripture and you just kind of want to go, what? We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here's the thing. True and biblical hope comes about in ways that few of us would define or think about as being hopeful. Right? In other words, we never get excited or optimistic when we're experiencing suffering to say, oh, this is a chance to have hope in God. But true hope comes from turning to God. Even in this election season, hope is not going to come from our political party. It's not going to come from whoever is in the White House. And so we come to the table this morning. And so can we do this? Can we give this election to God? Can we tell God, we're going to give you the results of this election? Can we tell God that? No amends there. That's interesting. Can we make a vow to seek the Lord with all of our heart and renew our commitment to Jesus after November 5th? To become like Jesus and do the kind of the sort of things that Jesus did. Can we make a vow and commitment that regardless of who wins on Tuesday and the aftermath, that what we say and what we do, we'll do as representatives of Jesus Christ. And we will seek to do things that build up people, that will build up our community and build up our nation and not tear down. Can we make a commitment to do that as followers of Jesus? Would you pray? Let's pray. Bow your heads. Jesus, we recommit our lives to you. During this moment of silence, would you show us what that looks like? Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he has been our example to go even through difficult times on how to lead even when a nation goes through turmoil. Father, we thank you for the example that he set, even going to the cross and his sacrifice for us on the cross, where his body was broken for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus, whose blood was shed for us in our sins and our shortcomings, so that we might live without guilt and without shame. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we ask all of these things in his name. Amen.